Scrolling for August 6th, 2020. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Essenflo.
And I'm Pam Bedore.
And we are here at the end of the canon of Sherlock Holmes stories from Arthur Conan Doyle, and it's time to discuss our favorites of these 60 titles. How about that?
I can't believe we're at the end. I can't believe we read them all, Steve.
It is pretty amazing that 122 days in a row, we have gathered together and talked about these stories, and, you know, it's over. That we've done it.
I think by the time this ends, Pam could say that I am semi-literate.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I would say that, but... But you guys, in all seriousness, I read all of these stories one after another, maybe I would say 15 years ago. I did the whole 60 stories through, and wow, this was so much more fun.
This was a pretty deep dive.
We talking about it and really thinking, you know, I have learned so much from really pausing at each of these stories and think, what is Doyle doing here, and what are the social and cultural questions and issues that he's writing about and thinking about? And, you know, how's he representing America versus Britain? And what about these wonderful characters that we love so much? So it has just been such a pleasure. And I can't believe we've done it. 122 days. It just seems impossible. And yet here we are.
And we've all brought our own perspective into it. And I really enjoy talking to both of you, Chip, with your historical background on what this means historically has been eye-opening. And Pam, of course, your literary knowledge of how this storytelling goes into our consciousness. These stories are a part of literature and a part of our consciousness. And any writer who writes after Arthur Conan Doyle certainly is somewhere in their intellect thinking about how he wrote these stories.
And Steve, I think you have such a strong visual. I mean, obviously you're a literary critic as well. An English major, we're English majors together, but you have such a strong sense of the visual of all of these too. You can picture them as plays in a way that I don't always think of them. And you picture the colors, how you would actually stage things.
And the characters. I am a huge fan of writing a good, strong character. Somebody who is fleshed out so well that I can see that person while I'm reading the story.
Like a feral cat. Like a hawk-nosed person. Like a...
like a bloodhound.
Zoomorphism is a very easy way to describe a person's looks, isn't it? So we have gathered our lists of our favorite of the 60 stories, including all four novels and the 56 short stories. And so who's going to start? Chip, are you going to give us your favorite of all of these stories?
Yeah, I will. And I want to start off by saying this was very difficult because we started reading these in, I think, what, 1890 something. And here I am today. I had to go back and kind of look through. And while I have the stories in my mind, you don't always have which story is which story. So I had to pick something out. And I went with A Scandal in Bohemia from 1891. And the reason I picked that one was because Irene Adler. And while this character has never been used again by Doyle, every adaptation seems to see the power of her as a protagonist. And yet, you know, she's not used. But if you're going to write a story today, if you're going to have a movie, you're going to use this character.
I like that. I didn't end up with A Scandal in Bohemia on my top three, but it was very, very close to being on my top three. I think it's a great story, and it's fun to see Sherlock bested. That's one of the things I like about it.
She can carry those pictures. I mean, It's incredible.
The entire wall size photograph that she somehow has upon her person and is the key to the mystery. Yeah, there's something about that story. And yes, again, back to the characters. The character of Irene Adler is so well drawn. We know her. Even though she never appears again in any story, the adaptations certainly use that character because she is... She's there. She's fleshed out in this very short story.
She's the female Holmes.
Agreed.
Or Holmes is the male Adler.
Now there is going to be an adaptation with a female Sherlock Holmes coming up. They are casting that right now, just so you know. Pam, what is your number one favorite story of all 60 of the canon?
So it's always been The Hound of the Baskervilles, and it still is, even though I was like, ooh, did it get bumped by our discussions? No, I absolutely love this story. I love the gothic. I love the conflict between supernatural and rational. Watson is super present in this, and I adore Watson. Just that line, "It was the footprints of a gigantic hound," makes me so happy. And we've got all sorts of interesting things. You've got the brother and sister who are actually married, the damsel in distress, the adventurer who spent time in Canada, the whole country. We, of course, have one of my favorite tropes, which is Holmes telling Watson, "I really appreciate your perspective, even though it's completely wrong." I love this story. To me, it's so much fun. And it has a gigantic hound. I mean, I'm good. This is a total emotional pick. Love it.
Awesome. I just jumping ahead to my pick and not talking about yours at all. I came into this thinking Hound of the Baskervilles was my favorite because it was the one that I knew before we started reading the canon, and it did get bumped to number two on my list.
Ooh, just like I thought it might for me. Interesting. Uh-huh. Okay.
And it did not get bumped by The Valley of Fear, as I suspected that it would while I was reading The Valley of Fear, because of the ending of The Valley of Fear. Stephen King style, The Valley of Fear ending left me cold, and the whole story is ruined because of the ending. So
you're super wrong about that, but we'll come back to that when Chip and I come back for second round.
So my top pick is actually The Sign of Four. Ooh. This was a great mystery with clues placed so evenly and the great character... Brother Thaddeus's brother, Brother Bartholomew! Brother Thaddeus is such a great character in this that this is my favorite story. It has a truly touching love story for Watson. This is a true romance built into a mystery written so well, so unequivocally. These two people are meant for each other. Love at first sight. That's my kind of mystery.
Of course, you know, we've got Watson, love at first sight, and one of his three wives, and the only one named.
Okay, so yes, the future of Mrs. Watson is certainly bleak, but the beginning of the story is fantastic.
She's written out in between stories. She's not even given a story.
Oh, Doyle.
doesn't Holmes say something really touching at the end about Mary?
He does. Like,
mm-hmm. He is endorsing the absolute love of this couple. It is put out there so well by Doyle, even though he later disses the whole thing.
The misses. Between books.
So Holmes likes Mary. Watson, of course, loves Mary. But Doyle, so much.
Well put. Chip, what is your second favorite story of the 60 in the canon?
Well, I'm going to share my story. I put A Study in Scarlet from 1887. And the reason is I like the format. I like this idea of solving your little mystery and then being sent off So I said, all the fun and Mormons too. So I enjoyed Doyle's fascination with the United States and how he also gets to play with genres. And I think there's something that should be said there is that Doyle is a young writer when he brings Sherlock Holmes to the masses. But he continuously plays and grows as a writer and challenges himself to take on different genres, different types of writing throughout his entire life. And it shows, and it's hit and miss at times. But you know what? He's having fun while he's giving the audience what they want. More Sherlock Holmes.
I disagree. I did not like A Study in Scarlet. I think that he was such an immature writer, and I think the dark storytelling and the torturous ending to these characters that Doyle was so good at making us love these people and then just ruining them. I did not like this story.
That's good writing.
Yeah.
I love this story. And but you know, this is such a matter of what the reader brings, right? Mm-hmm. Because I really like the darkness. So
let me take that quote down. Pam Bedore, I like the darkness.
I love the darkness. I study horror fiction and dystopia and apocalypse, right? And so, of course, I like the darkness. Please take it down. It's not a secret for me. But I like that Doyle. I mean, to me, what's so great about the canon is that we have, you know, the blue carbuncle. We have the search for a gem inside of a goose right alongside this super dark and, you know, really pretty nuanced look at revenge and how revenge can completely take over someone's life and have all of these impacts culturally and individually. And so I didn't pick this story, but I do think A Study in Scarlet is a very strong book.
And I remember reading this
to the character.
Okay. I remember reading it, and I was impatient with this story because I was like, okay, let's get to the next chapter, because I knew where it was going. But that was because I didn't have to wait a month, but I had to just wait for the next chapter.
Remember, that one was not published episodically. That was all published in one magazine at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
The readers didn't have to wait. We forced ourselves to wait on that one.
Wait, and yes, we read it more slowly than the original readers. Yeah.
So, Pam, if that is not your second choice, what is your second?
Oh, you guys are not going to be surprised at all. It's The Valley of Fear now.
The Valley of Fear.
Exactly. So I really sort of debated which to put first, Hound of the Baskervilles or Valley of Fear, because Hound of the Baskervilles, that's like my emotional pleasure choice, and Valley of Fear is my intellectual scholar choice. And so I put them in that order. Valley of Fear is the only Holmes story I've ever published on. So far, I've gotten some ideas from talking things over with you guys. I love the metafictional angle so much. And as you'll recall, the one article I've written is called The Mystery of the Metafictional Dumbbell. And it's this idea of how Doyle is writing detective fiction and he's writing about detective fiction at the same time. And as someone who so enjoys American detective fiction and likes to think about those transatlantic influences, we've got it all here. We've got English versus British. We've got contamination and containment, this notion of McMurdo, like what's he really up to? We've got history versus fiction, Pinkerton versus Doyle, hard-boiled versus classical. And then as a special super bonus, we've got Moriarty at the end.
Sort of.
Point where Sherlock says, I can always tell a Moriarty. That is so great. This notion of crime as art. Again, you're seeing the dark side of me as a reader and a scholar. Love that stuff. And so this is a true intellectual pleasure for someone like me, even though it doesn't have the same like emotional pleasure as I would say Study in Scarlet, just as Chip just described, as well as Hound of the Baskervilles.
Steve and I have watched Minority Report. Pam, we're going to keep our eyes on you.
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
The precogs see your darkness, madam. And
oh my.
I was about to say something that would be inappropriate. But Yeah, you have that gothic love of your literature for sure, and that certainly plays into this a little bit, but not nearly as much as The Hound of the Baskervilles, your first pick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This Valley of Fear plays to your strengths. I hear you talking about the Pinkertons almost more often than Sherlock, because those stories contain so much of the joy of literature that you have gained over the years.
And I picked the Valley of Fear too as my third, not to jump you, Steve, but I like that format. I wish Doyle had written more stories like this format. It seemed like the short stories had a format that kind of he played a little bit with, but really early ones had a real format. And these novels, we've got two of the four that share the same type of format. And it seems to work real well at telling a story. It allows him to tell a Sherlock story, and then allows him to play with the different genres out there and whatever his interest is of the time.
And we have to remember that when he's writing in the late 19th century, early 20th century, these genres aren't developed the way they are right now. So we're really seeing the birth of a genre that is so popular. Turn on like any of dozens of channels in the evening and you just have detective, 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 detective. That all comes from this moment. And so that comes from this sort of investigation of various generic possibilities. So this is an extremely exciting moment in the development of detective fiction. I'm really fascinated that each of the three of us picked two novels and one story when we were faced with 60 options. Those novels are good, man. Mm-hmm. I've written more novels, right?
Exactly. And I said that several times when we were doing The Valley of Fear, wish that there was another series of episodic chapters published monthly that made up a novel like The Valley of Fear, because I really did enjoy that writing right up until the final chapter and the really unnecessary reveal that was anticlimactic. And the Moriarty part, that's so prequely to me that he lines up Moriarty as so important to the canon and then never uses him again and only used him in the one story and then the prequel of Valley of Fear.
But Steve, he killed the most popular detective of all time. I mean, it's not like Moriarty just like, you know, tripped in front of Holmes. I mean, Doyle killed Sherlock Holmes for several years. I mean, that is bold. Moriarty is like amazing.
And setting it up, very similar to Adler, if you were going to write a movie or write a book today, Moriarty definitely would be part of it. Adler would most likely be part of it. It is as little as he's used these characters. I mean, the Joker appears all the time with Batman, right? Lex Luthor always appears with Superman. So there's this idea that we should have more of Moriarty. I think, you know, maybe a modern invention of that.
The third character on that list, Chip?
What?
Mycroft.
No.
Mycroft is really not well used in the actual canon, but in the adaptations, he is incredibly important. Mm-hmm.
And you guys, if those characters were really well used in the canon, Sherlock might not be as popular as he is. That invitation for fans and movie producers to pick up on these wonderful kernels and make them their own, that's part of the pleasure and power of this writing, I think.
All right, so I'm going to actually support this in another way. In Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Mycroft is the person who puts together that league.
Mm-hmm.
And Moriarty is the bad guy reveal at the end. Not that
there you
give
go.
Away this story, but it's been out there for a long
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, Chip.
Oh, thank you, Chip. But that's right. But the point is that these characters obviously do resonate, mm-hmm. and they do get used. So let's go on to look at our the voice of Brother Bartholomew, and ask him what his second favorite book is.
Okay, so I came into this thinking that The Hound of the Baskervilles was my top favorite, best Sherlock Holmes story. It has slipped to number two, but is still on my top three list. This is still one of my favorite memories of learning about narrative, learning about storytelling, learning about the Gothic, learning about logic and learning about deductive reasoning. The entire point of my study of the Hound of the Baskervilles as a young child, the teacher was teaching us about logic and deductive reasoning, something that I still use every day. And I try to teach my students in coding how to logically solve a puzzle. Puzzles have been important to me all my life, and Hound of the Baskervilles is a great tool to teach kids how to think about what could be, that deductive reasoning piece. This story is so adaptable. It can be told in so many different formats, has been told in so many different formats, and you could change around some of the elements and make it such a modern piece. Hound of the Baskervilles is definitely on my top three.
Let me ask you a little bit about Hound of the Baskervilles and Sign of the Four. Hound of the Baskervilles was introduced to you while you were in high school, correct?
Middle school.
Okay, for middle school. And then Sign of the Four, do you think it's much more of maybe a mature story in comparison to the Hound of the Baskervilles?
Yes, I think that the audience for the Sign of Four would be a much more mature audience than the Hound of the Baskervilles. I think that the simplicity of the mystery in the Hound of the Baskervilles is there, and the idea of community and how people work together in the Sign of Four is something that you would need to be a little more mature to understand their viewpoint.
And not to belabor this, but yeah, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to be mature, does it, Steve?
No, immaturity is kind of my calling card. I've been in eighth grade for 18 years. They just make you the teacher. That's how that works. So, yes, it's kind of interesting that we all chose two novels and one short story on our list. My short story is The Dancing Men, because I am a sucker for a good cipher.
I love that. Great
when
choice.
I made my list, without looking up anything, going back to any of our conversations, I typed The Dancing Men at the top of my list because that was the most fun I had with a story. Anything that makes me want to make a t-shirt, that's good entertainment. I want The Dancing Men cipher on a t-shirt. In fact, I put together a cipher for this show that is in the show notes. You can go to the show notes and try to solve the cipher for my secret message to all of our listeners.
Oh, excellent. I like The Dancing Men a lot, too. That's a great choice.
Mm-hmm. Pam, what is your short story pick?
You guys, I couldn't decide. I knew that I wanted to pick those two novels, Hound of the Baskervilles and Valley of Fear. And then for short stories, I just kept switching between a whole bunch of them. I landed on Charles Augustus Milverton, but ask me a different day, I would land on Speckled Band or Scandal in Bohemia or even Redheaded League. I mean, there's a bunch that I really, really love. Charles Augustus Milverton, I really like because Holmes is at his most ethically dubious, and maybe just coming off Valley of Fear, I'm like, oh yeah, that's always really fun when you see the dark side of the detective. We see the dark side of blackmail. We get a woman who's standing up for herself, taking revenge. And of course, we also have Holmes and Watson holding hands behind the curtain. So, I mean, it pulls together a lot of tropes that I really, really love. But it's a pretty dark story. And I know this one's not on your top 10 list, Steve.
Nope. Sure isn't.
So, but honestly, there's so many short stories that I really like, but not as much as those two novels. So I'm saying Charles Augustus Milverton today. But it's
ask me tomorrow. It might be different.
Choice.
Yeah,
I reserve the right to change my opinion.
Exactly.
So that's it. That's our top nine stories. So time for a little game show action. Time to see what we can think was the top stories from Arthur Conan Doyle's point of view.
Well, so here's what happened, you guys. So in 1927, the Strand magazine held a contest. So they basically said to their readers, all right, guys, go out. You're not allowed to choose the novels and you're not allowed to choose the casebook because the casebook stories were published at very random times over a period of many years. So you could choose any of the 40 odd stories from the first five collections. And so they had Sir Arthur Conan Doyle pick his top 12 stories. And then they said all of the readers should put in their top 12 stories, and whoever's was closest to Conan Doyle's would win a prize.
So we are going to play our own little game show today, and our contestants are going to try to match Arthur Conan Doyle's list, and whoever gets closest, the most points on the board, will win the right to draw the new logo for our new show, Sandwiches at Irregular Hours. So, we should probably break and come back.
Perfect. Okay, that sounds great.
And we'll do that right after this.
All right, guys, now entering the studio, I have a young lady named Zoe Phelps. And so we are being joined by a 9-year-old. Do you want to say hi, Zoe?
Hello.
Zoe has been reading along with us this entire time. And so we have three contestants, and we've got the top 12 answers from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle are on the board. Should we go in order from youngest to oldest?
Chip, we're going to wipe the floor with her. She's 9.
Listen, I'm going to take on the name Fuzzy Memories, because that will be my new moniker as we go through this.
We're going to lose hard, aren't we?
I don't know.
I have a lot of bravado here, but you know what? I have no problem going home with the tail between my legs.
Yes, let's go in age order from youngest to oldest on this.
Right, so
Miss Host.
As you give your top answer, I'm going to tell you how many points you get. So if you were to pick Doyle's number one answer, you get 12 points. His number 12 answer, you get 1 point. All right. So Zoe, tell us what your very favorite Sherlock Holmes story is.
The Blue Carbuncle.
Ooh, the blue carbuncle.
I mean, it's got a turkey.
You took my answer, Zoe? You know how much I love the Blue Carbuncle.
I love it. It's got an animal.
That's one of the most fun stories, and you stole it out
from
under me.
Look at my shirt. It's a kitty with a unicorn horn.
Better watch it.
Unfortunately, my friends, the Blue Carbuncle was not favorite.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. What?
My goodness.
The Blue Carbuncle.
Steve, I'm going to you. What is your choice?
My choice for the story that I believe Arthur Conan Doyle thought was his best work is The Final Problem, The Death of Sherlock Holmes.
The Death of Sherlock Holmes. Did anyone else have that on their list?
I did.
Steve, he had that as number 4. So you will get 9 points for The Final Problem. And I think that made a lot of sense because, of course, you know, killing your detective mm-hmm. is just something that you pretty much have to be super excited about.
I think it's good narrative. I think he did a great job
in
that story.
Why would you be excited about killing your detective?
For a story? That's important. It's important to have the audience care about your character so much that when something awful happens to that character, they feel bad.
But what about with Watson?
He lives happily ever after. With his third wife, whatever her name is.
Watson is Watson.
That's right.
All right, Chip. What's your choice here?
Did you say Fuzzy Memories? Did you call it Fuzzy Memories?
Yes, all Fuzzy right. Memories. Go ahead.
By Poseidon's Trident, I pick The Adventure of Black Peter.
Ooh. Did anyone else have The Adventure of Black Peter?
Me.
No.
That's right. A harpoon right through the heart there, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not on the list, guys.
Oh!
Black Peter! Why are none of the funny ones on?
That's right. You tell him, Zoe.
All right, guys. So we've got a lot of strikes against us to start. Zoe, what's second round? What do you have for us?
Cardboard box.
Cardboard box. Did anyone else have an adventure with a lot of ears in it?
Nope.
No.
No, Conan Doyle did not either, Zoe.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. Terrible. All right, Steve, back to you.
My second choice is the Naval Treaty.
Mm, ah! The Naval Treaty?
Mm-hmm. I have the Naval Treaty.
Yep, Doyle did not.
Oh! Mm.
Chip, what do you got?
You mean fuzzy memories here. I'm going to go with the Adventure of the Speckled Band.
Number one choice for Doyle. Did anyone else have Speckled Band?
No, I did not. That is not one of my favorites.
Yes, so you get 12 points for that, Chip.
Wow.
Chip. Nice job. That was Doyle's very favorite story.
I mean, it was a pretty good story.
It was a very good story. All right, Zoe, we're back to you.
So my third choice was the Red Circle.
Ooh, the Red Circle. Anyone else have the Red Circle?
I did not.
I do not.
No, Doyle didn't have that one either, Zoe. Now, I would just want to pause here and say, I think it's okay to have different choices than Doyle.
Oh, I think that he gave us so many different types of narratives, and our taste in narrative is absolutely different. We've proven that for 122 days.
The years of therapy have led me to that.
Exactly. Steve, what do you got next?
I would like to find on the board the Greek interpreter, because Mycroft Holmes is in that story.
Ooh, anyone else have Greek interpreter?
No.
I do not.
Neither did Doyle.
Oh!
All right, Chip, what do you have for us?
You mean fuzzy memories.
Talk to us.
That's right. We're going to go with the Adventure of the Yellow Face.
The Yellow Face. Who else has the Yellow Face?
I definitely had the Yellow Face on my list.
Because we're good dads, Steve.
That's right.
We do what's right.
I forgot about the Yellow Face.
Not on Doyle's list, my friends.
What? Boy.
You guys, we only have two of the answers on the board. 10 answers remain. Zoe, we're at you. What do you have?
Devil's Foot.
The Adventure of the Devil's Foot. Does anyone else have Devil's Foot?
Nope.
You know what? Doyle did have the Devil's Foot. He had it as his number 9 choice. So, Zoe, you've got 4 points. Ding, ding, ding. On the board.
Yay!
Fuzzy memories taking this away right now.
Yeah,
but
so far.
Right, back to you, Steve.
I am going to say that Doyle really enjoyed one of my favorite short stories, The Dancing Men.
That was his number 3 choice, my friends. Loved a good cipher. Steve, you get 10 points for that. You're up to 19. Nice job. Steve, take the lead. All right, Chip. All right, fuzzy memories, forgive me. What do you
think? That's right. Fuzzy memories. You know, what I love in my locks of hair is the last bow.
The last bow. Did anyone else have the last bow?
No.
No, and neither did Doyle.
No.
All right, Zoe. We're at you.
Five orange pips.
Oh, no, Zoe. No, I don't like that story whatsoever. That is my least favorite. That is no.
Five orange pips is awesome.
You can enjoy it all you want. No, thank you.
I will.
All right. Chip, did you have five orange pips on your list?
I did not.
Well, Zoe, you get 6 points for five orange pips. That was Doyle's number 7 choice.
How many do I have now?
Bringing you up to 10. You're almost caught up to fuzzy memories. Steve, what do you got?
I would like to go to the board and find the second stain, the episode of Sherlock Holmes that features the phrase sandwiches at irregular hours.
Oh, good job. Second stain gets you 5 points, my friend.
Ooh, wonderful.
Steve's running away with it. 24 for Steve, 12 for fuzzy memories.
Can anyone
10 for
really
the 9-year-old.
Catch up to that?
We'll see. All right.
I'm doing pretty good for a 9-year-old.
You're doing great, Zoe.
You're doing awesome. So fuzzy memories is going to say, you know, when you do something and you mess up, some people say you're all thumbs. I'm going with The Adventure of the Engineer's Thumb.
That is my least favorite story. It is not.
It is not good.
And it is not on the board.
Zero thumbs up on that one.
Thumbs down.
There are no thumbs. The thumbs are down on the ground.
The Dying Detective.
Ooh, the Adventure of the Dying Detective, where Watson has to hide behind the headboard.
Mm-hmm.
Of John Locke, it felt.
Unfortunately, not.
So worried about what?
Not on the list. Zoe's got her own enjoyment. These were not Doyle's favorites.
I enjoyed murder.
Sure. I totally see that.
As the daughter of darkness.
Right.
All right, Steve, what do you got?
I've got the Naval Treaty, giving all the clues and speaking directly to the audience.
Did you already do Naval Treaty?
Did I?
You did. Mm-hmm.
We've already done Blue Carbuncle, we've already done Dancing Men, we've already done Second Stain, we've already got Greek Interpreter, we've already got The Final Problem, so I am out of my notes.
You're out of stories, all right.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Steve
forfeits the competition.
Nope, Steve is stuck at 24, he's still winning.
Yeah. I'm still at 24, I'm gonna do some research real quick.
Oh, we're gonna defeat him.
Yes.
As fuzzy memories, I will.
Go, fuzzy memories.
I'm going to go with The Adventure of the Musgrave Ritual.
Ooh, that was number 11 on Doyle's list. So you get 2 points for that, my dear.
No,
good
I didn't
job.
Like the Musgrave Ritual.
The Musgrave Ritual. All right, up to 14. Zoe, what do you have?
I have A Case of Identity.
Ooh, A Case of Identity with Mr. Angel Hosmer.
It was awesome.
That was a crazy one. Not on Doyle's list. Steve, you come back in?
I'm going to go with Pam's favorite, The Red-Headed League.
You will get 11 points for that. That was Doyle's number two.
I did not enjoy The Red-Headed League.
You did not enjoy The Red-Headed
League? No, I did not.
But all of those red-headed men.
It's all about discrimination against the gingers.
But the thing is, it's only men.
See, this is a very good point. All right, Fuzzy Memories, we're back to you.
All right, I am going to go with The Adventure of the Veiled Lodger.
Ooh, an interesting choice, but not on Doyle's list.
I like that one.
All right, guys. I think it's our final round here.
Last round
of picking. There are still four answers on the board. What do you have, Zoe, my dear?
Lady Frances Carfax.
Yes!
Ooh. Double Burial. I love that one.
But I have a feeling it's not on.
It's not on the board, though. All right, what's your last choice, Steve?
All right, my last chance, I'm going to go with Copper Beaches.
Excellent choice, not on the board. I love Copper Beaches.
I know I'm not going to win.
Fuzzy Memories, what do you have?
Oh, Fuzzy Memories, I'm going to follow the rules and go right to the casebook. The Adventure of the Lion's Mane.
Now, you guys, interestingly, Doyle... Because the casebook was not on, Doyle couldn't pick that one. But he did say that it was one of his favorites, and he would have picked it, been able to.
If the rules had allowed, Chip. Sorry, here's some Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, as your parting gift.
That's right. Anytime there's a jelly, man. Anytime there's a jelly, there's a good story.
So no one actually said one that we all really loved, so... Doyle's list was The Speckled Band, Red-Headed League, Dancing Men, Final Problem. Number 5 was A Scandal in Bohemia.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 was The Empty House. And I
couldn't remember what the book with the one with the Rach was. I couldn't remember it, so I couldn't put it on my list.
That was Study in Scarlet, which wasn't actually available. Then you had The Five Orange Pips, The Second Stain, The Devil's Foot. Now, interestingly, Doyle picked The Priory School, which I don't think any of us was especially crazy about.
No.
Priory School, but it could have been solved on its own.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
If we could just have a dramatic moment for that, can we?
Then he had The Musgrave Ritual, and his final one was The Reigate Squire.
Oh.
Squirrels.
So... Steve, you're the one in our little group.
To me, if I read that, it says squirrels.
So you're the one in our little group who is closest to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, which I believe means you may be able to draw the logo.
That is not how this works. I have no drawing skill whatsoever. So I look forward.
What about fuzzy memories?
So I look forward to both fuzzy memories drawing and Zoe's drawing for the logo of our new show, Sandwiches at Irregular Hours.
Then how will we choose? Well, fuzzy memories was
hard. You know, fuzzy memories usually gets two votes anyway. So
we'll that's how dads out. Work.
We'll figure it out.
That's
submit,
right.
Submit your logo and we'll figure it out.
That's right.
We'll make it happen. Wonderful. All right. So I worked really, really hard on that list and it showed.
Good job.
So, and what is fascinating about this, Steve, is that Steve can't pick a movie. But he certainly could pick the stories, couldn't he?
He certainly could. My goodness.
So that is our game show, ladies and gentlemen. That is our top list of our favorite stories from the entire canon, all 60 stories from Arthur Conan Doyle, those stories of Sherlock Holmes that we have gone through so many. We've had such a great time doing this. I hope everybody out there has had a great time with us. We would love to hear from you. Give us a call or a text. Follow our hashtag TMS Sherlock Holmes and go to our dedicated website, sandwichesatirregularhours.com, for all of these conversations over the course of 123 days. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflor.
I'm Pam Bedore.
And I'm Zoe Phelps.
And I'm Brother Bartholomew!
Thaddeus says, come back. We can do it again.
Awesome. Zoe, that was wonderful. Great job, my friend. You're a star.